Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Late Night.
This is Late Night.
On Sports Radio WEEI. Boston Sports Talk for Insomniacs and the Graveyard Pack. Let's get it going with Patrick Gilroy. Late Night. On Sports Radio WEEI.
It is Late Night, right here, Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you, as we'll make our way together up until midnight tonight. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And it is officially NBA All-Star Weekend. Once upon a time, this was the halfway point in the season, but much like everything else with the National Basketball Association, the schedule is just screwed up. The season starts earlier than ever. This year, the season started in mid-October after just a four-game exhibition schedule and 9 days of training camp. And now what was once the halfway point of the season is really, we're at the three-quarter mark where the Celtics have, what, 25, 26 games remaining in the season. And while I generally don't pay all that much attention to All-Star Weekend, especially the first couple of days of All-Star Weekend. I mean, today you've got the Celebrity Game. Now you've got the Rising Stars Challenge. Tomorrow you've got the Dunk Contest and the Three-Point Contest, the Skills Challenge. I'm interested to see a couple of things. Kyrie Irving, he is the head coach tonight of Jason Tatum's team. Jason Tatum went out tonight, and so far he scored 16 points at the half. And really looking every part the young star that the Boston Celtics expect him to be. And let me remind you guys of this. At this point, there's many sort of things happening in and around the NBA, specifically pertaining to the Boston Celtics. As you guys heard in trending, you know, right now the Pelicans, they parted ways with Dell Demps. Dell Demps is the guy that Danny Ainge was on the phone with last week, you know, begging him, don't trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers. We're going to offer up Tatum. We're going to offer up more. We can give you the best package. You heard the head coach of the Pelicans last night called the situation a dumpster fire. Right now, Anthony Davis is in this no man's land where he's suiting up for the Pelicans. He wants to play. The NBA wants him to play. There's rumors around the league right now that the NBA picked up the phone and they told the Pelicans, look, if you hold him out, if he does not play, we're going to fine you up to $100,000 a game that you don't play him. So the idea of holding Anthony Davis out to preserve his trade value until the offseason is something that the NBA is dead against. And it's something that I totally understand. When you look at a team like the Pelicans that play in an arena called the Smoothie King Arena, you know that they can't afford to screw their fans over, because each and every one of those fans that they have in New Orleans, they are hard-earned fans. Those fans are people that they don't have a waiting list like we do here in Boston for season tickets. Let's face it. You know, in Boston, if you want season tickets to the Celtics, you put your name on a list and you hope that at some point in less than a decade, if you're lucky, you get a phone call with an opportunity to spend tens of thousands of dollars for your season tickets. Do you think it's like that with the Pelicans? Hell no. I mean, that's day of game traffic that you get. That is day of game ticket sales that you get if you are the New Orleans Pelicans. And right now, the Pelicans, they had giant posters of Anthony Davis outside the arena. Those are gone. They removed him from the video intro package, you know, like we have here in Boston where you introduce the Celtics. Well, could you imagine how awkward it would have been if, I mean, there were all these trade rumors surrounding Paul Pierce up until 2007 before the big three got here. Could you imagine if Danny Ainge had Paul Pierce on the trading block, ultimately decided not to trade Paul Pierce, pulled him from the opening videos and pulled all the posters all over the garden of Paul Pierce, and then Paul Pierce had to suit up for the Celtics again for the final 25, 26 games of the season? That's how awkward things are right now in New Orleans. And let's face it here, I don't know which way to go with this thing. Now, on one hand, we're hearing that Mike Zarin, who's currently an assistant general manager with the Celtics, he's been here for a long time. He is very, very good. If he goes and he winds up being the new general manager of the Pelicans, you have to believe that that at least helps the Celtics situation out here. But the fact is this, anybody outside of Mike Zarin, I'm not sure whoever takes Dell Demps' place, we're not going to know exactly how that new general manager may feel about the package that the Celtics were offering. So what we had assumed was a sense of certainty that if the Celtics, in fact, did want to make this move for Anthony Davis in the offseason, well, it was essentially their move to make because the Pelicans, they showed their true colors. They showed their cards when they ultimately decided not to trade with the Los Angeles Lakers, knowing that the Celtics could offer a better package. Well, that better package was only better in the mind of Dell Demps. You know, this is all a very, it's an opinion-based conversation that we're having. And in Dell Demps' opinion, what the Celtics could offer was better than what the Lakers could offer. But if Danny Ferry gets this job right now, he's been named the interim general manager. He had a very successful run with both the Cavaliers and the Hawks, and he's been a consultant for the last couple of years with the Pelicans. Now he's the interim general manager. We have no idea if he gets the job. We don't know how he feels about Jason Tatum. We don't know how he feels about Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, all of these pieces that we heard that were rumored to be part of this deal. So the certainty that Celtics fans felt here, where maybe you didn't feel comfortable, maybe you didn't want to trade Jason Tatum, at the end of the day, we all sort of understood that if the Celtics did in fact want to make this deal, and if they did in fact want to build around Anthony Davis badly enough, that move was theirs to make, because ultimately they hold the trump card, and that trump card is Jason Tatum. That trump card was Jason Tatum because it was Jason Tatum to Dell Demps. We have no idea whoever gets that job. We have no idea how they feel about Jason Tatum versus the young stars of the Lakers or other young stars that will certainly be offered up in a potential package for Anthony Davis in the offseason. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. I want to have a little bit of fun with you guys tonight. A couple of stories out there that I think are great. Now, former Celtic Ray Allen, he's a guy that a lot of us still haven't completely forgiven here in Boston. I'm one of these guys that hasn't completely forgiven Ray Allen. I still take a lot of heat because of my inability to completely move on, completely forgive Ray Allen. It's not about Ray Allen leaving Boston. It's about the manner in which he left Boston. And if you listen to Paul Pierce talk about it, and Paul Pierce has moved on, but if you listen to Paul Pierce talk about it, the anger that Paul Pierce felt is really the anger that I think a lot of Celtics fans felt. It's not so much that he left the team, because when you consider the fact that Danny Ainge put Ray Allen on the trading block each of the last 2 years that he was here in Boston, he was offered up multiple times for the likes of the mighty O.J. Mayo. I mean, at that point, if you're Ray Allen, what loyalty do you really have to the Celtics when Danny Ainge is offering you up for O.J. Flippin' Mayo, right? Ray Allen should be a surefire Hall of Famer. Ray Allen should go down in history as one of the best to ever play the game, and yet O.J. Mayo is who Danny Ainge's trade target was. So if I'm Ray Allen, I don't have any loyalty to the Boston Celtics. I don't have any loyalty to Danny Ainge because of that. But I hate the way that he abandoned his teammates. I hate the way that he abandoned Paul Pierce. I hate the way that he abandoned Kevin Garnett. And I hate the way that he left the Celtics. It was a ballless, sackless move not to call his teammates, not to let them know what was going on, not to give them an opportunity to at least have a conversation with him before he left. And then to do that, to leave in that manner and not to pick up the phone, not to call these people that you considered your brothers, not to return Paul Pierce's phone calls, not to return Kevin Garnett's phone calls, not to return Doc Rivers' phone calls, because that's what Ray did. He went radio silent for weeks. And then what did we see? We saw pictures of Ray Allen down in Miami having dinner with the enemy, having dinner with Pat Riley, former Laker coach Pat Riley, somebody that Celtics fans simply loathe. Dinner with Dwayne Wade, dinner with Alonzo Flippin' Mourning. You know, that's the first image that I saw of Ray Allen being courted by the Miami Heat. And at that point, I knew it was really over because, let's face it, at the end of the day, Pat Riley is an excellent salesman. He is as slimy and as salesy as they get. But when Pat Riley has his eyes set on somebody, Pat Riley is going to get his man. And ultimately, he got his man. And Ray Allen took less money to go play for the Miami Heat. Ultimately, he helped win them a championship. Without him, they don't get that ring. Without that miraculous shot that he hit, they don't get that ring. All that being said, I bring up Ray Allen tonight because I understand if you didn't watch the celebrity game tonight, I can't imagine many of you did. Ray Allen simply tore it up. He tore it up in the celebrity game. He had something like 23, 24 points. He was hitting 4-point field goals where the NBA and Fritos, I think, or Lay's or Potato Chip Company, one of these companies put out a 4-point line. where they were donating $4,000 for each four-pointer hit to the Special Olympics. I mean, Antoine Walker would have been in his absolute glory out there tonight, but Ray Allen, he tore it up, but it was more than just the jump shooting. I mean, he had handle. He had a first step that was just as quick as ever. He looked like every bit the player that he was, at least with the Miami Heat. And right now, Vince Carter, he's the oldest player in the league at 42 years old, and he plays about 15 minutes a night for the Atlanta Hawks. He can still play. Ray Allen right now is 43 years old, and I bring this up if only because the one problem that Ray Allen has right now with his legacy is, quite frankly, I think he's going to go down in history as the single best player ever to play the game of basketball that will never have his number retired anywhere. And you think about this for a minute. He doesn't have a home. He could have had a home here in Boston forever. He could have been forever considered a Boston Celtic, much like a guy like Kevin Garnett will forever have a home in Boston. He was just in the Garden last week when the Lakers were here. He was rocking an old-school Rondo jersey, old-school Celtics Rondo jersey, sitting right behind the basket. He spent the afternoon at the Celtics' new practice facility, hanging out with Jason Tatum, hanging out with Danny Ainge. He forever will be considered a Boston Celtic. Eventually, his number five is going to go to the rafters. It will never be worn here again. Whether you agree with that or not, he was only here for 6 years. But the fact is this. He played close to 20 years in the NBA, only six of those years with the Celtics, but he will forever be considered a Boston Celtic. Ray Allen had the same opportunity. He did. He could have put his pride aside and decided to stay here in Boston. The Celtics ultimately did offer him a contract that was worth more money than what the Miami Heat gave him. And at the end of the day, Ray Allen's biggest complaint with the Celtics was the fact that they were dangling him out there in trade talks. And that bothered him. That pissed him off. He wanted the type of security that he had here in Boston. Remember, Ray had a special needs son. He had special schools and hospitals here in the city of Boston. The city of Boston was good for Ray Allen on multiple levels, right? So what did Danny Ainge do? At Ray Allen's age at the time, he still offered Ray a no-trade clause. I mean, he was going to be the oldest player in NBA history to have a no-trade clause. That way, his mind would be at ease for the remainder of time that he had left in the NBA with the Celtics. Ultimately, that wasn't good enough for Ray Allen. So now you think about his career, and you think about his career arc. Well, he didn't win anything, and he didn't spend enough time with the Milwaukee Bucks for them to retire his number. You think about his days in Seattle. Well, now the Seattle Sonics are gone. So unless he's going to have his number retired with the Oklahoma City Thunder, and he's not going to, by the way, that would be the only option. Here with the Celtics, there is no shot in hell that right now Ray Allen has his number retired here. And of course, with the Miami Heat, he only played there for a couple of years. Yes, he won a championship with the Heat, won a championship with the Celtics, but neither one of those franchises is going to retire his number. He is going to go down in history as the single best player ever to play the game, a surefire Hall of Famer, yet he won't have his number retired in any of the stops that he had along his way because he didn't spend enough time in any one of these places. And ultimately, that sucks. That's a real sin. Ray Allen tonight, if you're on Twitter, there's all this speculation, all this talk that, hey, Ray Allen still looks like he could play. Ray Allen wanted to play last year. 2 years ago, he nearly came back at 41 years old. Was very, very close. He wanted to play with the Golden State Warriors or with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Neither team had a roster spot available when Ray Allen was trying to come back and play. So Celtics fans, here's a little situation. Here's a little scenario that I want you to think about here. It was about 10 years ago. It was a decade ago right now when the Boston Celtics went to All-Star Weekend. Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen went to All-Star Weekend, Doc Rivers. And what do? They plucked away P.J. Brown out of retirement. They plucked him away. And P.J. Brown joined the Celtics for the remainder of the season. Now, what happened? He came here, and he didn't look like he could still play. He did not at all. Matter of fact, it took him the full month and a half of that was remaining in the regular season to get himself back in basketball shape. But by the time the playoffs rolled around, P.J. Brown was becoming a contributing factor to this Boston Celtics team. And ultimately, he made his mark in the playoffs. Without P.J. Brown and that huge shot that he hit and the contributions that he made in the playoffs, you could certainly make the argument that the Boston Celtics never win the 2008 championship. They never get Banner 17. P.J. Brown ultimately played a huge role in what that team was able to accomplish. So here we are a decade later, and the question is this. After seeing what we saw tonight from Ray Allen, and knowing that the Boston Celtics, for the first time all season long, have got an open roster spot. They've got an open roster spot because Jabari Bird is no longer a part of this team. So we talked about the potential buyout candidates. We've talked about, before the trade deadline, if they would potentially trade for somebody to fill that roster spot with. Ultimately, Danny Ainge decided flexibility was more important than anything else. So at this stage in the game, with 26 games remaining in the season, there is an open roster spot here. Would it be worth it? And would Celtics fans want Danny Ainge to pick up the phone and call Ray Allen? At 43 years old, do we think that Ray Allen has enough left in the tank? We know that shooters, that's the last thing to go is the shot. And in the NBA right now, with such a premium on three-point shooting, I got to believe that there is still a role that Ray Allen could play on a successful team in the NBA today. And imagine this. Imagine the story. Allow your brain to go here for a minute. Let's say Danny Ainge picks up the phone and convinces Ray Allen to come back. And Ray ultimately comes back, winds up playing 8 to 12 minutes a night, averages 3, 5, 6 points a night, but hits a couple of crucial threes throughout the Celtics playoff run, helps the Celtics get to the NBA Finals, even if they don't win a championship, but they get to the Finals and Ray Allen contributes. That might change the entire narrative around Ray Allen and his departure here in Boston. If he hangs it up after coming back and having a successful comeback at 43 years old with this team and proves that he can still play, is all forgiven at that point for Ray Allen? Because this place right here, Boston, still represents the best place and the best opportunity for Ray Allen to have his number retired, if that matters to him. If he wants to have a forever home when he's eventually an older man, a place that he can come back to and be appreciated and be considered a member of that team's family, like Kevin Garnett can, like Paul Pierce can. Right now, if you go to the Boston Garden, you see old Celtics there all the time. Leon Poe is there each and every game as essentially he's a member of the community. The Celtics use him as a meet and greet type of guy. But players and fans alike love him. A guy like Leon Poe, who had a nice playoff run with the Celtics, made meaningful contributions, has a forever home in the National Basketball Association, and Ray Allen does not. If you watch what I watched tonight, if you saw what I saw tonight, you understand why there's speculation on Twitter right now. Is Ray Allen somebody that you guys would want to see Danny Ainge place a phone call to at 43 years old in a league that needs as much shooting as possible because it's so predicated on the three? More so than ever before. I mean, imagine if Ray Allen played in the league and was in his prime right now today, the numbers that he would put up with the emphasis on the three-point field goal. His numbers, his Hall of Fame career, his Hall of Fame numbers would be that much more impactful, would have been that much larger because we're taking more threes right now than we ever have before in the history of this league. So Ray Allen at 43 years old with that sweet stroke and still in incredible shape, he is still in better shape than 99% of the players in the NBA today. If you saw him tonight, you know what I'm talking about. Is there any interest? Is there any situation in which you guys, Celtics fans, would want Ray Allen back on the Boston Celtics? Should Danny Ainge pick up the phone and say, hey, Ray, we have got one roster spot available and it is all yours if you would like it? Could all potentially be forgiven if Ray Allen were to return to the Boston Celtics and make some sort of an impact here in what ultimately should be, and we hope is, a prolonged playoff run? It is Sports Radio WEEI. Room for you guys tonight when we come back at 617-779-7937.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're locked into Late Night with Patrick Gilroy on Sports Radio WEEI.
It is Late Night right here, Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until midnight tonight. The number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And no, you know, it's not really a joke. I'm not being humorous here, responding to some of these texters, responding to a couple of these tweeters here. I'm dead serious. I saw what I saw from Ray Allen tonight. I know he tried to make a comeback a couple of years ago. Ultimately, he decided not to. But the man is still in incredible shape. And the fact is, he's only about a year older than Vince Carter. And Vince Carter, at 42 years old right now, is still playing meaningful and impactful minutes in the NBA today, averaging close to 16 minutes per night for the Atlanta Hawks. And seeing what Ray did tonight, scoring 24 points, 9 rebounds, and doing it in a multitude of ways. I mean, showing off the long ball. I mean, we all know that he has got the sweetest stroke really ever in the history of the league. Nothing's prettier than a Ray Allen jump shot. But it was so much more than that. He showed off the handle. He showed off some explosiveness. He really showed off a lot of attributes to his game that I don't care how bad the competition was. At 43 years old, I'm not sure a lot of people felt like Ray Allen could still do the things that he was able to do on a basketball court tonight, which is why Twitter started to sort of get up in arms and started exploding. A lot of talk about, you know, LeBron James probably on the phone right now with Magic Johnson trying to get Ray Allen a 10-day contract with the Lakers. And look, that's a move that I think LeBron would absolutely want to do, because as of today, as of right now, all the betting sites, the smart money is on the Lakers and LeBron James not making the playoffs. You mean to tell me that if LeBron had an opportunity to reunite with Ray Allen, with the Lakers, that he would not be in favor of that move, that LeBron would not rather play with a veteran like Ray Allen, even if it's only 10 minutes a night, rather than some of these young Laker players that he tried to have traded away? And the point of the matter is this. It's a bigger picture thing. It's a larger scope thing for me, where, you know, Ray Allen's going to go down in history as the greatest player ever to play the game that never has his number retired, because for a different set of circumstances in each and every stop, he ultimately never spent enough time or had a large enough impact in any one of his NBA stops. The one place where he could have had his number retired was Seattle, but Seattle doesn't have a basketball team any longer. But he was too young, and he didn't spend enough time with the Bucks. Had an opportunity with the Celtics to have a forever home here, to have his number retired here, but the divorce with the Celtics was too ugly. And ultimately, you know, the way that the whole thing went down, there was a lot of mistrust, a lot of distrust between Ray, between Danny Ainge. The fans still don't forgive Ray Allen. I'm telling you right now, the one thing that I'm getting consistently on my Twitter feed right now, because I made this suggestion on the drive in here, I sort of threw it out there on Twitter, and I'm getting a lot of people saying, hell no, he's a traitor. Hell no, we don't want any part of Ray Allen back on the Boston Celtics. And I'm thinking to myself, what are we talking about here? You know, Ray Allen, at 43 years old, if he came back to fill that 15th roster spot and he had even a small impact, 8 minutes a night, 10 minutes a night, and he hit a couple of impactful threes and helped the Celtics reach the NBA Finals, I think that not only proves that he can still play at this level, and he's somebody, by the way, at the end of these games, when a brilliant Brad Stevens, a guy that really there's nobody better at drawing up out-of-bounds plays for the last couple of seconds of a game to get off a shot. I mean, Ray Allen's a perfect guy to run those plays with, right? And there might come a time in the playoffs where Ray Allen will have his opportunity to have his P.J. Brown moment. And can a big shot that ultimately helps the Celtics move on in the playoffs, just like P.J. Brown did when he was retired and the Celtics went to the All-Star game 10 years ago and brought him out of retirement? So I'm kind of not joking here. After seeing what I saw tonight from Ray Allen, I still think that there's an opportunity for him to play in the National Basketball Association. Not a full 82-game season. There's only 26 games remaining in the season. He's a free agent. Your Boston Celtics, they've got an open roster spot. I think it's a no-brainer. I think that at 43 years old, he could still make an impact here. And if he does make an impact, if he does help this Celtics team ultimately reach the NBA Finals, even if they were to lose in the Finals, I think all is forgiven at that point. And at that point, you can reopen the conversation about forgiveness and maybe about Ray Allen ultimately having his number retired alongside Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. It is Sports Radio WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. So the whole Ray Allen conversation got me thinking about the Colin Kaepernick situation. Because as we reported in the trending all day, all afternoon here, Colin Kaepernick, the NFL settled with him, and at this point, it's over. The lawsuit is over. He's no longer suing the NFL for this collusion case where, you know, it was in his mind, it was his opinion, and the case that he brought against the league was essentially the league was colluding against him, and that's why he wasn't able to get a job. If you are to believe what Mike Freeman is reporting, Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report, he's saying that he's hearing that Cap got somewhere between $60 and $80 million. Now, here's the interesting part about this. This was a two-person lawsuit here. It wasn't just Colin Kaepernick. It was Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed. Now, Eric Reed is employed by the NFL right now. He's an active player. He's collecting checks as a player in the National Football League right now. And I wonder if this is now a situation where the lawsuit is over. If Colin Kaepernick wanted to try and come back and play, if this would allow him the opportunity to try and play. Now, we heard, was it Chris Carter today or yesterday, suggest that Colin Kaepernick would be a good fit for the Patriots, because it's in his mind, even though Cap is 31 years old, it's much more of a Patriots type of move to bring in a Colin Kaepernick as the heir apparent to a guy like Tom Brady, meaning you don't have to groom a young quarterback. You don't have to draft somebody. He's somebody that's had experience and had success in the NFL. And when Carter made that declaration, I think we all sort of laughed it off. We did. Because ultimately here, as long as this lawsuit was pending, as long as this lawsuit was going on, no NFL team was going to sign and hire a guy like Colin Kaepernick. That just wasn't going to happen. You know, if I'm suing a company, I'm not going to bring that company my resume and expect that they're going to hire me. Those two things don't go hand in hand. But now that this lawsuit is over, now that Cap has been paid, and we all know that Cap, you know, he's only in his early 30s. If he really wanted to try and come back and play, would the NFL at this point, would teams actually invite him to camp? And would teams give him an opportunity right now to try and come back and play? And that got me thinking about Ray Allen. I'm thinking to myself, okay, Colin Kaepernick at 31 years old. He's been out of the league for a couple of years. We're not sure how much he actually loves the game of football. And I don't think anybody besides Colin Kaepernick could really answer that question. And we've heard Glenn Ordway specifically speculate here for years that it's his belief, and we've heard Jerry Callahan as well, say that it's their belief that ultimately Kaepernick doesn't love the game enough. He really doesn't want to play. He uses this sort of situation as an opportunity to get his message out, to grow his celebrity, and to sort of play the victim and play the victim really well. But at the end of the day, if he was presented with an opportunity to play NFL football, even as a backup, he would turn that down because he really doesn't want to play the game of football any longer. He just wanted to play the victim and get paid. I never truly bought that. I never truly bought that he wants to play the victim. I never truly bought the fact that he no longer wanted to play. Generally, in my mind, if you are good enough to reach the highest of heights, and if you're playing in any of these professional leagues, you have reached the highest of heights. At that point, you have dedicated your entire life to a game. You have dedicated your entire life to a sport, and you have to love it enough to continue to play and put your body through everything that Cap put his body through year after year after year, through high school, through college, through, you know, his years as a professional. This is not easy stuff. You need to really be dedicated your craft to be one of the best 300 on the planet to play. And that's essentially what Colin Kaepernick was in his time in the NFL. And I don't think that you fall out of love with the sport overnight because of a set of circumstances. But at Cap at 31 years old, now that the lawsuit's over, and with guys like Chris Carter essentially declaring that, you know, in his mind, Cap would be a good fit for the Patriots, what's more likely to happen? If you had to lay money down on something, what is more likely to happen? Is Ray Allen more likely at 43 years old to make an NBA comeback, to sign a 10-day contract with somebody, to prove that he can still play the game of basketball at a very high level like he did tonight in the celebrity game? Or is Colin Kaepernick, who sued the flipping league and looks like he got away with $60 to $80 million after suing the league, and after the whole kneeling thing and him trying to make his statement and the Nike situation and all the BS that went with Colin Kaepernick over the last couple of years? Now, which one is more likely to happen? I think one of the two will happen. Ultimately here, both of these guys are too skilled, too talented to completely stay away. But I'm not sure which one would have a bigger or better opportunity to happen, because I'm not sure an NFL team right now, despite the fact that I still believe that Colin Kaepernick could get back into shape and could play. He could be at least a backup in the NFL. When you look at the list of backups that these teams have right now, my God, you mean to tell me that a guy that had a good amount of success in the NFL isn't capable of coming back and being a decent backup in this league? When you consider the putrid options that some of these teams are using right now as their backup quarterbacks, look no further than your New England Patriots. I mean, how comfortable are Patriots fans with their backup quarterback situation right now? It is not good. So even as a backup, I think that Colin Kaepernick could make an impact. He could play. He could provide some semblance of security for some NFL team out there. But I'm not sure. Maybe he's been blackballed too much. Maybe the NFL really at this point, despite the fact that the collusion case is now over, despite the fact that he is no longer suing the league, maybe there's a general understanding in place that, hey, you're a jerk. You sued us. You can't expect us to hire you. Because I do expect him to try at some point over the next 12 months to get himself into shape and to put himself in a position where he is publicly declaring that he's trying to get a tryout in the NFL. I really do. I think that at some point he's going to get bored with his life. This whole thing about the AAF and going out there demanding $20 million to play in a minor league, that was never going to happen. That was purely a joke, in my opinion. You're not going to get that kind of money in a league where guys are signing three-year contracts worth $85,000 over the life of the contract. You're not going to give somebody $20 million in a league like that. It just doesn't work. That would be like Antoine Walker, who played in the NBA D-League 5-6 years ago during his NBA comeback attempt. Ultimately, that proved to be a failure. But he tried to make his comeback through the D-League. And he was collecting small, tiny checks. He was living in a tiny, crappy apartment. It was written about in multiple magazines, sort of going through the day-to-day life of Antoine Walker at the time. He was eating sugar cereal in the morning and eating Hot Pockets for dinner, living on no money whatsoever, trying to make an NBA comeback. Could you imagine Antoine Walker playing in the D-League saying, "Nah, you know what? I need $5 million to play in the D-League. Give me $10 million. I'll fill up these small arenas around the country. You know, that bus will never be the same again. But I need $10 million to come play in the D-League." That's stupid. Beggars can't be choosers. And Colin Kaepernick, if he really does want to play, he's in no position to be demanding huge financial sums from a league that is just getting started and a league that's designed to pay guys minimal dollars. So I never thought that thing was real. But when that story came out, Colin Kaepernick, he was still suing the league. When that story came out, Colin Kaepernick was still going to be blackballed because, again, you can't sue an organization and then ask that organization to give you a job. That just never made sense to me. But now that that lawsuit is over, now the cap has been paid, and now that the league is in a position where, let's face it, it's not a good look for them. Essentially, what was proven here was that the Colin Kaepernick and his agent and his lawyers, they got something on the NFL. There is some sort of evidence, there's some sort of email chain, there's some sort of written word chain, there's a phone call that's been recorded. There is something that proves that there was actually collusion and that the NFL is terrified of discovery in this situation. Because if this thing went to trial and that discovery got out there, the NFL would look like hypocrites. They would look like race baiters. They would look terrible. It'd be an awful look for the league. So rather than have all the evidence that Colin Kaepernick and his legal team have against the NFL be made public in discovery, what happens? The NFL, they caved. They gave the guy a huge sum of money to go away. But now that the lawsuit's over, I think Colin Kaepernick knows. He knows that they've got something against the league. And he knows that the league is scared. The league is absolutely scared that whatever they have to hold over the league would have been made public in discovery. And ultimately, that's why Cap got paid. So if Cap decided he wanted to go and, you know, try and get a job now in the NFL and tried to be a backup quarterback and tried to prove that he can still play in this league, I feel like these teams might be more compelled to at least give him an opportunity, because what they don't want to happen is whatever this is, whatever the evidence is that Colin Kaepernick's legal team has, they don't want that to be held over their head any longer, because that's something that clearly the NFL was afraid of. And that's ultimately why Colin Kaepernick got paid. But really, which one of these guys, Ray Allen, one of the ultimate good guys in the NBA, a guy that never really had much controversy surrounding him, but a guy that's 43 years old, doesn't look 43, certainly doesn't play like a 43-year-old. What we saw tonight, 24 points, 9 rebounds, and looking every bit the part of Ray Allen that we remember. You know, which guy is more likely to have an opportunity to come back and play, collect a check, and play professionally? I mean, if it were me, and if I was the general manager of the Boston Celtics and I had an open roster spot, absolutely, I would be on the phone with Ray Allen's people tonight. Why not? What does this team have to lose? They have had chemistry issues all season long. And going back to the start of the season, what was it that Kyrie Irving said? He said, "We could really use a 15-year veteran in our locker room. We could really use that sort of presence in our locker room." Well, who is better in that situation than a guy with championship experience, a guy that he can commiserate with because both guys played with LeBron James? They both understand the challenges of playing with a guy like LeBron James. I feel like Ray Allen back to the Celtics is a perfect fit, and it's something that Danny Ainge absolutely should consider. It is Sports Radio WEI, room for you when we come back at 617-779-7937.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Talk all Boston sports with Patrick Gilroy on Sports Radio WEEI.
Don't fall for the okey-doke if you're Kaepernick. Kaepernick shouldn't go out there in a resume-building effort and play in the AAF, which is just a league of number twos, as they even proclaim this themselves, to say that I'm ready for the big leagues. Because Kaepernick is not in the NFL because of outside issues, noise, package, not just production. But if you're trying to sell me to go to the junior varsity to say that I'm ready for the big dogs, when I've already shown that I'm ready for the big dogs, don't forget I've been in the Super Bowl, two NFC championship games. I'm not going to help the NFL generate ratings. Let's not delude ourselves in thinking this is a resume building effort. Kaepernick, stay still. Don't go there because it won't help you.
So Colin Kaepernick's a funny discussion for me because I still think the guy can play. I'm one of the rare guys that still thinks that Colin Kaepernick has got enough skill to at least put himself in a position to be a backup quarterback in the NFL. And now that the collusion case is over, now that Colin Kaepernick is essentially no longer suing the NFL, reports today saying that he settled somewhere between $60 and $80 million is now in Colin Kaepernick's pocket, but the collusion case is now over. And I was listening to the other station a little bit earlier tonight. They're talking about Colin Kaepernick and really suggesting that at this point, the NFL will want no part of potentially hiring him. The NFL, no NFL team is going to hire a guy that sued them. And I'm thinking to myself, what are they talking about? Like the other guy that people forget, there were two people that were mentioned in this lawsuit. There were two guys that were suing the league, not just one. It wasn't just Colin Kaepernick. I mean, let's not forget at this point, it was Eric Reed as well. And Eric Reed got himself a job last year. So why was Eric Reed able to essentially do the same thing that Colin Kaepernick did, bring this lawsuit against the NFL and really show the NFL and really try to slam the NFL for colluding, quote unquote, not giving him an opportunity to play? Why can he put his name on the lawsuit and he can still give himself an opportunity to get hired, get a job, collect a paycheck and be an active participant in the NFL? Meanwhile, Colin Kaepernick, he's not allowed to do so. Meanwhile, Colin Kaepernick isn't one of the isn't somebody that's qualified right now to at least be a backup quarterback in this league. When you look at the list of putrid quarterbacks in the NFL, to me, that's a joke. And to me, I listened to what Chris Carter had to say the other day on TV when he suggested that Colin Kaepernick was somebody that the Patriots should consider to be the heir apparent to Tom Brady. I'm not sure if the timing works out here. Right now, I believe Cap is 31. Let's assume Brady plays another 2-3 years. So at that point, Cap is going to be 34, 35 years old. Maybe what he can do at that age, if he were to come in and sign right now at some point in this offseason, and he was comfortable being Tom Brady's backup for a couple of years, maybe at that point what he can do when Tom Brady retires is still play at a relatively high level for a few years. You know, and maybe prolong some sort of semblance of keeping the Patriots afloat while they ultimately look and find more time to find their heir apparent and their quarterback of the future. But I do think that there is a role for him in this league, and I don't think that it will be a very good look for the NFL at this point to continue to blackball this kid. It's just stupid. The NFL, they lost, and they lost for a reason. They settled for a reason, and the reason is ultimately these rich jerk owners, they know that they were wrong in the situation. They know that they colluded, and they know that Colin Kaepernick and his legal team absolutely have some form of evidence against them, some form of evidence that they want no part of going public because they know how bad they will look. They'll know that they look like they're race baiters. They'll know that they look like they actually did collude as a group, as an organization, as a whole to keep Colin Kaepernick out of the NFL. And to me, that is an unforgivable sin if something like that actually was made public. It is Sports Radio WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's get out to the calls. Let's go to Blair. Blair is in Maine. Blair, you're first up here on WEI.
Are you serious about Colin Kaepernick? Are you really serious?
Oh, I'm dead serious.
Are you serious about bringing back one of the oldest basketball players ever?
Blair, did you watch him play tonight? Did you watch him play?
No.
Okay.
I don't care about this All-Star break that much.
Well,
I mean, maybe I'll watch a little of the All-Star break, but
let's have a conversation.
The dunk contest is probably the only thing I'll give a crap about.
Let's have a conversation about Ray Allen for a minute, okay?
Guess what happened?
What's that?
Valentine's Day, my mom got me the shirt. The Super Bowl shirt has a six-time Super Bowl ring, you know.
Yeah.
It says six times, we're the best, you know. Just wait for seven rings. Tom Brady's coming back. Rob Gronkowski's coming back. All of our best players are coming back. I don't see anybody leaving. We're going to be the best. That's why we are Boston, and we don't need any old players for basketball. We don't need any Colin Kaepernick, because all he does is kneel for the national anthem.
So what?
And I'm sick of that.
I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. I never had a problem with it at all. But I don't
Why?
Think that.
Did you love the national anthem kneeling? Is that what you're.
No, because.
Everybody was sick of that.
No, because here's the thing. Blair, you asked me a question. Give me a chance to answer it, okay? I've never had a problem with the kneeling. Because at the end of the day, while I do think that there is a semblance of disrespect, a level of disrespect that goes along with the timing of the kneeling during the national anthem, I do understand that they were trying to get a point across. And the sin of the whole thing here is that Colin Kaepernick was never the right guy to spearhead this, because he didn't have the skills as an orator to get in front of a camera and really deliver to people what that message was supposed to be. So there was a lot of assumption, a lot of innuendo, and what happened was that it allowed the president, it allowed people in higher positions than Colin Kaepernick, this ability to spread a false narrative about this whole thing being, you know, about disrespect of the military and disrespect of the flag. That's never what its origin was, but that's ultimately what it became and what the American people, most of the American people, really thought that it was about. It was never about that. And at the end of the day, we don't have to like it. I don't have to like it. You don't have to like it. But at the end of the day, this is the United States of America, and the very people that the president and others thought that Colin Kaepernick was disrespecting our armed forces. Well, those heroes, the people in the armed forces, guess what? One of the things that they fought for and they continue to fight for are our freedoms that we all enjoy here in the United States of America. And one of those is the freedom of expression. And you know what? If Kaepernick wants to express himself in a way that we don't agree with, so what? He's actually using one of the freedoms that these heroes fought for. So I think it's actually disrespectful of people like you that have a problem with it, Blair, because ultimately,
why?
This is America. And America is a beautiful place, and this is what these people fight for. They fight so people like Colin Kaepernick can take their stand.
Well, what if I say this? My dad died, and he was, he's a veteran, and he died, and I don't have my dad with me anymore. So what do you got to say to that?
I got to say that your dad's a hero, and he fought for people like Colin Kaepernick to be able to express themselves, because this is a beautiful place. It is the United States of America, and we don't all have to agree. We don't have to have the same religions. We don't have to have the same faith. We don't have to believe the same things politically. We don't have to do that. In other countries, if Colin Kaepernick did that, I mean, he's facing prison time. He's facing potential death. But here in America, you don't face those things, because we are a special, special place, and we're special because of heroes like your dad.
Can I say one? I want to tell you one thing that is special to me, even though I don't care about Colin Kaepernick, because apparently he doesn't get that kneeling thing. It's over the hill now. Anyways, I want to tell you one thing. My mom got me a ticket to go to in September, was to go to Oregon and Stanford football game at Stanford football. And it's going to be an amazing game, because last year it went into overtime, and I can't wait to go. And I'm hoping before then you get me tickets, or you get me some way to go in a hotel to go watch the championship trophy be held with the duck boats and everything, because I've never been.
So here's the thing. We talked about this before, Blair, right? I told you that if the Celtics find a way and they win a championship, I'll get you down here for the duck boat celebration. I'll get you into a hotel, and you'll be there.
You and I will celebrate it together,
right.
Down
you'll, there. You'll be front and center if the Celtics win the championship. I will make that happen. And that's why you should hope that Danny Ainge places a call to Ray Allen. I know he's old, but they've got an open roster spot. It doesn't take much money, and they don't have to give up any assets. Ray Allen is the perfect guy to have on this team 5, 8, 10 minutes a night. When the Celtics need a critical three to win a playoff series, I'm telling you right now, Ray Allen is still capable of delivering
that
three.
I know. He can make it rain. I know. But he is kind of old. But the thing I want to bring up real quick, and then I'll let you go, is why would we bring someone back like Ray Allen if he's that old? Would there be a would they bring him back? Is there a reason why they would bring him back? And do you think the coach is crazy enough to bring him back?
Well, the reason why, I promise you, after what Ray Allen did tonight, Blair, I promise you that there is multiple multiple phone calls being placed to Ray Apple. It drives a lot of people crazy. At times, it drives me crazy. Never have more three-point field goals been attempted and made in the history of the league. I mean, Marcus Smart is among the NBA's, among the Boston Celtics' top 10 three-point shooters of all time now. That is a pathetic statement, but that means he's jacked up a lot of threes in a few years here. So when you think about that, you think about the volume of three-point field goals that are being attempted in today's NBA. You think about a guy like Ray Allen. You mean to tell me that the Celtics can't find Ray Allen open in the corner occasionally to be able to hit a three? That's all I'm looking for from Ray Allen. And I think Ray Allen would have a unique opportunity if he did decide to try and come back. Now, 2 years ago, he was very close to coming back, like very close to coming back. He was toying around with the idea of playing with the Warriors and or the Cavaliers. Ultimately, at the last moment, he pulled out of that decision not to make a comeback. But clearly, he's kept himself in incredible shape. I mean, he looks like he can still play, and tonight, he showed that he still has some game left. He still has the sweetest stroke I've ever seen. And if it were the Celtics that he chose, I think that it's a great story because it allows Ray Allen the ability to come here and exit for a second time and exit in a more graceful way. And maybe if he comes back and he surprises people and has an impact on what we hope would be a prolonged successful run throughout the playoffs for the Celtics and has some meaningful contributions. And when I say meaningful contributions, I'm not looking for him to be the Ray Allen he was 10 years ago. I'm talking about having a PJ Brown moment. Because P.J. Brown is a Celtic that Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen, when they went to the All-Star game a decade ago, you know, P.J. Brown was there. He was a grizzled veteran that had been retired. And ultimately, they convinced him to come back because when you're competing to win a championship, you need a couple of these grizzled veterans on your team, if only to be a great presence in the locker room. And that's exactly what Kyrie Irving was asking for during the first month of the season. And there was talk about potentially that veteran being Kendrick Perkins or, you know, you name the veteran player that didn't have much left in the tank. Because Kyrie said we needed a 15-year veteran here to help this locker room out. 3 weeks into the season, he made that declaration. 3 weeks in, he realized that there was something amiss in this locker room. And I feel like a guy like Ray Allen, at this stage of his life, at this stage in his career, if he's still capable of hitting the occasional three, if he is still capable of running up and down an NBA court and giving this team 8 to 12 minutes a night, then that's exactly the type of guy that you want on this team as your 14th or 15th man on the roster. That when you need a three, and it's the end of a crucial game, end of a quarter, end of a half, and you want to run a play design for Ray Allen, you need to run a play design for a three, clearly he can still contribute. And if he does come back, and he did have that prolonged run throughout the playoffs as a member of the Celtics, maybe, just maybe, that's good for the Celtics and for Ray Allen. Because the sad part of Ray Allen's career is that he's going to go down in history as a Hall of Fame player, a guy that truly helped redefine his position. Yet, he's going to be the best player ever to play the game that's never had his number retired because he never stuck around anywhere long enough, never had a large enough impact on any individual team, any individual organization where they felt the need to retire his number. Not the Bucks. The Seattle Sonics are gone. The Celtics' divorce was ugly, and ultimately that ugly divorce is what cost him the opportunity to get his number retired here. And yeah, he had a championship and success here, but it doesn't matter. And he had a championship and success with the Miami Heat, but he was only there for a couple of years at the tail end of his career. But if he were to come back here and somehow, some way, this team was able to actually win a championship and Ray Allen contributed and contributed in a similar way to what P.J. Brown was able to do a decade ago, meaning not a hero, not a guy that gives you 20 points a night, but a guy that we remember for hitting a crucial shot or two throughout a prolonged playoff run. I think at that point, maybe all could be finally forgiven for Ray Allen and the Boston Celtics. It is Sports Radio, WEEI, 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. When we come back, we'll continue our Colin Kaepernick discussion, and I do want to mix in some David Price stuff because, look, I know David Price had a terrific run throughout the playoffs last year. The Red Sox, they do not win the World Series without David Price last year. And now, you know, it's the good ship lollipop down there at spring training. And it's really, it's so fraudulent to me. The media that once hated him is now kissing his ass. The media that once thought he was the biggest jerk ever to play the game of baseball, it is now. They can't get enough of him. They're joking it up. They're hamming it up with David Price. But you mean to tell me the first time that David Price goes into Yankee Stadium and he sucks, that we're going to continue to treat David Price like this? You mean to tell me all is really forgiven? You mean to tell me that David Price is one of these guys that we're now rooting for? He's now considered a forever member of the Boston Red Sox, somebody that will live in Red Sox history, Red Sox lore forever? I have a hard time considering him one of those guys. As a matter of fact, I still have a hard time rooting for him. We'll talk about that and more when we come back right here, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.